So today we are back in our series of finding out those places where Jesus met people right where they were. And as we continue with this today, I've got my same three. I'm going to call these anthropological reminders about the doctrine of mankind and who we are. And I hope it doesn't discourage you too much, but you are a spiritual person. You are a sinful person, but you are a savable person. This is true of every person, including Delmas. And this is true of every person.
Thank you.
Especially the sinful part. But it is true of every person that Jesus encountered and true of every person today as well. So with that little backdrop and reminder, we today are going to look at a very unique story. It is the story that oftentimes is called the widow's mite, or I call her simply the either poor widow or the widow found at the treasury. They're at the place where they would deposit their offerings, their coins for the temple. So we're going to look at that today in Mark chapter 12. You can turn there to Mark's gospel account of Jesus' life and ministry. And I'll also let you know, in case you are interested in keeping up with it, that this is also found in Luke chapter 21. So two of the gospel writers include the story of this poor widow lady who goes by the offering plate and throws in barely enough to make it worth it. That's a summary of the story. The encounter with this widow is not like the other encounters we have looked at or that we will look at. Technically, this is not an encounter. And that's what makes it interesting. Jesus never had a conversation with this lady. As best we know, she has no idea he was sitting there and watching her and what she did. But because of his observation of what she did and then his teaching on this, it's included, kind of included in a little bit of an abstract way as an encounter that he had with this particular lady. I also want to remind you as we look at this that we are now at the very end of Jesus' public ministry. We have somewhat put the encounters in chronological order as we have gone. And this is now the last encounter before we get to the trial and different encounters he had with individuals at that point and during his crucifixion. So we've got some interesting ones coming up during that final week of his life on earth. So this is right at the end of his public ministry. We're going to read in verse 41 through verse 44. We'll come back and unpack it, and I'm going to do that quickly, and then I've got a story I'm going to share at the end that I think may put this into some perspective of how God measures our giving. It says in verse 41 of Mark in chapter 12, Jesus sat over against or opposite the treasury and beheld how the people were casting money into the treasury. And many that were rich, they were casting in much. But verse 42 is our character of the moment. While all of this was going on, there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in just two mites. And Mark adds for his Roman readers and their Roman coinology that these two mites simply make up a farthing, which is a quadrans in the Latin. And when Jesus saw this, he then turned to his disciples and said to them, Verily or truly I say to you, this poor widow has cast more in than all of they which have cast into the treasury. For all they, those others, they cast in of their abundance. But this poor lady, she of her want or her poverty did cast in all she had, even all of her living or her livelihood. Let me give you three. So I'm going to call these three observations that Jesus made with this encounter. And we'll use this as we go through the accounts. Number one, one thing that stands out to me in this story, in this encounter, is there's no doubt that Jesus was aware of every single person there in that temple who was there for giving of their offering. There's not a person there who escaped his notice. So when we read in verse 41 that Jesus was seated there opposite of the treasury, it would help us to understand what was the treasury. Okay, what was it like? You know, here at Mountain View for many, many years, and almost every church you go to for the longest time, most churches have had something called an offering plate. And you know, too, for the longest time, the offering plate, usually we would have some folks come up and they would grab, you know, a receptacle, a depository, if you will, for an offering. And there'd be maybe in the past four, and they would take these and go pew to pew and back and forth like that. And we would be collecting the offering. Okay, that's what it was called. After and during the time of fear, you know, with the virus and contracting viral infectious diseases, in particular the COVID virus, we of course felt, well, we certainly don't want each person putting their, you know, beautiful godly fingers on something. And Tammy takes and puts her fingers on it, and next person puts their fingers on it, and next thing you know, somebody's nose itches, so they raise their finger and scratch their nose, and then they get sick from something. So we decided we'll still obviously have offering, you know, worship with our giving, but we're not going to pass around the plate. And then when you know, the COVID fear is kind of mostly passed, we've kind of stayed where we are because it's just where we are now. So there's things we did 2.5 years ago that we may or may not ever do again. We don't do Lord's Supper right now like we did 2.5 years ago. And it's just kind of working. It's where we are right now. Things may change at some point. But in every church, there's some kind of receptacle for a person to worship through their giving. I've been to churches before where they never passed a plate per se, but they would have there as you exit. There would be some kind of a box of some sort or a bag of some sort. And there'd be folks who would stand there, and as you exit the worship center that day, you would just deposit your gift, your offering, your tithe. So there's different ways that people do that. And in Jesus' day, they had the same thing. Now, it would really be strange to you if you were to go into the temple there to give your tithe, to make your offering, your free will offering, whatever it may be, because there was no plate per se. So my understanding, now I'm not old enough to have been there, none of you were either, but what you learn in studying this is a temple there adjacent to the court of the Gentiles, and another court called the court of the women. And in that court of the women was the treasury. So you would go into the court area, and I don't know why it was this number, but there would be 13 receptacles against the wall in that court. Now, what's strange about that is the Greek word behind it is a word from which we get our word trumpet. You know, so why in the world would you call these receptacles kind of trumpets and use the word there for a shofar with the ram's horn? Well, these receptacles, about 13 against the wall, they would be shaped like the ram's horn, okay, like the trumpet. So there would be a very narrow mouth, and the bottom would be a lot wider than the top. And I don't know if my brain is working right, but I almost view this as kind of like a little chute. You know, like the top is narrow, it opens up there at the bottom like a, you know, shofar, like a ram's horn. And so they were trumpet-shaped receptacles, 13 of those in this court. And that's where they would give their offering. So it's almost like there's a little chute there, and you kind of put your coins, you're giving in that, and it, of course, falls down into, you know, the bottom of this trumpet. So when Jesus talks here about the treasury, he is seated opposite of where these receptacles are located in this treasury. So today, you know, we call it passing the plate, or we've got, you know, a receptacle here and in the entrance there where you can give your offering, your tithe. But in Jesus' day, you went into this court, and there would be these 13 receptacles there, a chest they would use. So when it says in verse 41 that he is seated against, opposite of the treasury, he is there. But now notice what he's doing. And as human beings, we like to do this. It says in the second phrase of that verse that he was beholding or watching how the people were giving their money into the treasury. Now, we like to watch people. You may not believe this. There are some people that go to the airport not to get on a plane, not to pick up anybody from a flight. They go to the airport just to watch people. I've heard it before. You can go to an observatory at some airports and they just like to stand there and just watch people walk by. There are folks in the mall and shopping centers, they don't go there to shop. They go there to watch people. Right? And some people you wish you hadn't seen with the way they talk and the way they act and all that. But Jesus is seated there like any of us. I mean, what do you do? You're sitting there, right? And you're opposite of the place where people are giving their offerings. So the Bible says he was seated there and he was just watching people as they give. Now, look at something here. Don't miss this. It says there, he was watching how they were cashing their money into the trumpet basis. Now, it doesn't say here that he was interested in how much, but in how. That's interesting to me. Because I remember years and years worth of folks who were accustomed to, like, we used to call this like being ushers. They would be the ones to, you know, collect the offering. And there was a man I read about that for many, many years, that was just his thing. It kind of reminds me here at Mountain View, like through the years with the Rudy Jets and the Pratt Sullivans, and we knew exactly who would be the ones who would be coming up here and passing the plates and all. And this one man, for many years, he was always the one collecting the offering. Here's what he observed. He was the one that would hold the plate as people were putting in their coins and their offering. And here's what he said. He said, through the years I discovered that I could determine what kind of person I was dealing with based on how their hand was opened when they put into the offering plate. I thought, now who in the world has got time to actually look at the way people give? You know what? You can learn something with the way people give sometimes by watching their gestures, watching their facial expressions, and in this guy's case, just watching their hand with how close, open, gripping. Okay, you see what he's getting at. So you can learn something by watching and the how people give. So Jesus is there in the treasury. And it says, as they are giving, he is not just watching and discovering how much, which as the omniscient Son of God, he would know that, but he was watching how they were giving. Now, let me not startle you too much this morning, but I got a feeling based on 41, verse 41, and the omniscience, omnipotence of God, that he still notices this today. Uh-oh, watch it now, right? He still notices today. And I've got a feeling when it comes to our tithing and our offering in our local churches, that when we stand before the Bema judgment, right, the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and we are rewarded based on our faithfulness on earth, I just got a feeling one of the areas where there's going to be some judgment and giving of rewards or loss of rewards is going to be based on how well we've honored God with our giving. So the Bible says Jesus was there and was watching how they were giving, right? The motive in their giving. Now here's what he noticed. As he's watching how the people are giving, he noticed there that many of those who were rich, they were casting in much. Literally it reads there in the text, they were casting in many coins. Well, beloved, that makes sense, right? I mean, the Bible makes it very clear, those that are rich ought to give richly. I mean, that's proportional giving. So there's no surprise there. That's what he should have seen. So he looks and notices that those who are rich were casting in much. But here's a problem. The problem is, I think, in the context with Sadducees and Pharisees and all of their pride and their giving and their loud prayers and all that, I think the problem is when they were walking by the offering plates and the chest where they were putting the money in, because you've got kind of, remember that, kind of like that long neck and it's narrow at the top and a little wider at the bottom. Because you've got that, you can make a scene in how you give with the amount of force with which you put the coins into the receptacle. So now here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that Jesus is observing. He's watching how they are giving. I would imagine, based on the way these Pharisees were and Sadducees and religious leaders and scribes, that when they went by the receptacle, I'm going to assume that some of them were waiting until a crowd was around. And when it came time to deposit their coins, they didn't just drop them in there lightly. I'm just going to imagine here that because of their desire to be noticed, they were making sure that when they deposited their handful of coins, they pushed it with force so it made more noise and people started to notice how much they were giving. Now, maybe that's why it says Jesus wasn't so much interested in the how much, but the how they were cashing in the money. So as he's sitting there and watching all of this, he's watching how they're giving, and he simply notices those who were giving much, which they should, proportional giving, but it seems to me in the context, they were trying to make a show of it. So then we learn in verse 42, not only was he aware of all the people there, he is also aware of all their giving. Now here's what happens. So as he is seated there, he's watching how people are giving. The Bible introduces us to a nameless woman. There is no record anywhere of a single word she spoke. It's really not an encounter that Jesus had with her or she had with him, but it's an observation there in the temple. The Bible says as Jesus was watching how the others were giving, there came in a certain poor widow. And the Bible says, when it came time for her giving, she threw into that receptacle simply two mites. Now, your Bible translation, there's different ways of translating the word here in the Greek. Your translation may say here, she threw in two small copper coins. If you want to get technical with it, the word there is that she threw in two lepta. You say, oh, what in the world is that? Well, don't worry about it. It's not going to change your life. But a lepton was the smallest coin in circulation in Palestine. Now, here's what's interesting about that word, lepton. It literally means peeled or stripped. Okay, now watch this. If you take something, I don't know, let's just take an onion. I don't really care anything for onions for the most part, but let's just take an onion. And if you peel and strip and peel and strip and peel and strip, you continue doing so until you're left with something very, very small. Okay, very, very thin. So the smallest coin in circulation was called a lepton because it was very, very thin and very, very small. Now the Bible says this is all this lady had. So she's got two lepta mites, small copper coins, and that is what she puts into the treasury. Now, because Mark is writing to Gentiles and probably some Roman citizens, he then tells us that in Roman coinage, the mites, two mites, basically make a farthing, which is a Latin word, quadrant. So they would know exactly what he was talking about. Now, to us today, we're like, I ain't got a clue what a mite is, what a quadrant is, or a lepton. Don't worry about it. That was in their day and time. And that's what they were dealing with. And here's what's important for us, though. To throw in two mites or two lepta, you need to ask the question, how much was that worth? So, if you look up coinage and values, here's what you discover. A singular lepton is worth 1/128th of a denarius. They say, oh, thank you. That clears up everything. A denarius was the basic wage that a laborer would make in a day. Okay, so a lepton is 1/128th of a basic laborer's daily wage. Okay, that's not very much. If there's two of those, and do the math, Evan, you just finished up, you know, your class at Virginia Tech. Do the math here. If you got two of those, that means she gave 1/64th of a laborer's daily wage. That's what she threw in with these two little coins. Now, everybody, if they had observed this and seen this, would have told this lady, you're basically wasting your time putting that in. What good is 1/64th of a laborer's daily wage? You're wasting your time. Just keep it. You need it. And don't give it here in the treasury. Because basically in that day and time, it's a fraction of a penny. Okay? You're not going to make any difference there. Now, here's what changes everything, though. We learn in the story that Jesus was watching. So, we see, number one, he's watching, aware of all the people. He's aware of all their giving, but here's why this is in your Bible. He's not only aware of the amounts they give and how they give, He is also aware of their hearts. And in case you haven't learned this in your Christian life yet, when it comes to your giving, God is much more concerned about your heart than He is your hand. Right? He's much more concerned about the motive than He is the amount. Right? And so this lady, thinking that nobody sees her, she doesn't care that she's not giving much at all. She's just trying to honor God with what she's got, and Jesus notices and pays attention. So here's what He says about her in verse 43. He called His disciples, and He said, "Children, it's time for a story. I'm going to give you a living illustration of what it means to give your all to God." So He calls His disciples and says to them, I'm going to paraphrase, "I know that y'all think that all the wealthier folks gave more a few moments ago. But I want you to notice what I just saw. I just saw a very poverty-stricken widow who has basically nothing, who just walked by the trumpet chest, and in there she put just two little coins." And here's what He says about that. "I'm going to say this to you. That poor widow, she put more in than all of those." Okay, she didn't only put in more than just the rich that could put in a lot. She put in more than every single person who has come today to that court and to those receptacles. She has put in more than all of those which have cast into the treasury. Now let me give you a principle based on verse 43. God weighs things on a different scale. And all these that came into the treasury and gave, and they should have given how they gave, they probably thought they were doing God a service. And they probably thought they were gaining the attention of all the bystanders, and they're rattling the receptacles they put their coins in, and they really thought they were doing right and everything was okay. And yet Jesus comes around and says, "I want you to understand something. This poor, poverty-stricken lady who has basically nothing has given more than all the rest of those combined." And here's His explanation in verse 44. "The reason I say this is when they gave and cast into the trumpet there in the chest, the receptacles, when they gave, they cast in out of their abundance or out of their surplus." Now, you know what that's like. And we don't discredit folks who give that way in any way. You know that oftentimes you'll see the front page of the newspaper that there are some folks very wealthy. God has blessed them in great ways, whether they acknowledge it or not. And with a benevolent attitude, they want to give, right? They want to give to the homeless shelter. They want to give to a children's home. They want to give to a missions agency. They want to give to a food bank. Right, folks, they do. They give great, great, large amounts to institutions. They want to assist in the welfare of humankind, and that's called philanthropy. So they give like that, but it's always out of a surplus. I just read 3 days ago, Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, they received a donation of $100 million from a donor. Now, the reason that caught the headlines is that is the largest single donor amount ever given to an institution of higher learning in the state of Alabama. And it went to Samford University. Now, here's what I'm saying though. Even $100 million for that donor was given out of a surplus, right? It wasn't a sacrifice. I guarantee you that $100 million donor still left in a really nice vehicle, probably has a private jet, has a beautiful mansion, has more than one home, can take expensive vacations. There's nothing wrong with it. What I'm saying is, you're giving out of surplus, right? It's not a true sacrifice. It's just a contribution. Now, Jesus says the difference with this lady. She did not give out of an abundance or surplus. She gave out of her poverty. Okay? And honestly, most people who would have been there that day, and we think today, they're like, "Dear lady, this is an unwise decision for you to make. I mean, it appears you barely have money to keep food on your table. You don't have anything. This is a very unwise decision, a very unwise action here. But Jesus says, when she gave there in her effort to worship God, she was basically completely entrusting herself to God who provides. Okay, there was such a faith there. So when he wraps it up, she says, not only did she give of all she had, it was even her own livelihood. Now notice something for another principle here in these verses. It's not the portion, but the proportion that's important, right? It's not that she only gave basically a penny's worth in her day. It's not that, but it's that she gave proportionally more of a sacrifice there in the temple. And that's what catches Jesus' attention here. When those who were wealthy left, there was never discomfort. There was no sacrifice. For this lady, when she left that point, she left lonely, she left poverty stricken, and she's basically the exact same person she has given everything that she owns at this offering. Now, let me give you a statement, and and then we'll kind of switch to a little story here at the end. I don't know who said this, but in the context of generosity and giving, the statement has been made that the test of liberality is not what is given, but what is left. Does that make sense? Okay, the test here for this lady, it's not so much what the others who were wealthy, not what they gave, but what they had left. Okay? All right, this lady, when she gave, basically there's now nothing that is left. And that's a great test of generosity or liberality in one's giving. Now, we know that God does not call upon every person to give everything they have and go into poverty. That is not at all what the Bible teaches. But we also know that there are some folks who so worship their money and their possessions. And when Jesus met that young ruler, he said, if you want to follow me because of your idol of money, you've got to sell all you've got and give to the poor. Okay? So this lady, poor widow, comes there. She gets commendation from Jesus. And listen, she leaves a scene and does not have a clue that Jesus saw her do it. She leaves the scene and doesn't have a clue that she's now going to be in what we call the New Testament for everybody to read about. And all those rich people came in and people were oohing and aahing when they heard the coins fall. And that little lady walked up, dropped in two small coins you could barely hear when they hit the bottom of that trumpet receptacle. So what does he see? He sees all the people, sees all their giving, and sees all of their hearts. Now, I want to share a little bit of a context and a story here as we close this and wrap this up. You look at the story and you try to wonder, why does Jesus point out this lady? And I want you to back up just a moment to verse 38 and keep this in the context. Verse 38, before we get to this lady, it says there that Jesus said to them in his teaching, his doctrine, I want y'all to beware of the scribes, the religious leaders. They love to walk around in very long clothing and robes and show off. They love salutations in the marketplace where people greet them because they're so great and mighty. They like the chief seats in the synagogue. They want to be known as somebody. And the the uppermost rooms or places there at the feast. But here's what they do. Now watch this in verse 40. It's those same religious leaders who devour widows' houses. Jesus just finished teaching about how religious leaders devour and take the livelihood away from the widows. And now what does he do? He puts his eyes on a widow. And he draws a sharp contrast between the religious leaders and this poor, poverty-stricken widow. Isn't that an interesting context and contrast he draws to expose their hypocrisy? Now let me share. I came across this story quite a number of years ago. It goes back to 1946, and it's a real experience a person wrote about later in life. I know a lot of stories make the rounds on the internet. I don't know if you've seen this before or heard of this before. It's a little bit more unique where I found it. But in 1946, it was Easter, and there was a lady back then. I guess the name Eddie was used as much for women as it was for guys. And her name was Eddie Ogan. She was 14 years old, and it was like I said, just after World War II was ended in 1946. And she and her family, they were in church. Her father had died some years before and left the mother with seven school-age kids and basically nothing else. Okay, very poor family, and they struggled a lot. Three of the siblings were still at home, so Eddie was one of those. I think there was a sister named, I want to say like Danielle, and then one named Osie. And these three still with their mother. They're still going to church with their mother. And on the Sunday, a month before Easter, the pastor stands up in the pulpit and says that here at Easter this year, we are going to make a collection. And we're going to make a collection for a poor family I'm aware of. And I want you to give sacrificially. Okay, I want you to give every Sunday sacrificially so we can be a blessing to this family at Easter. Eddie, her mother, and sisters, they went home so excited. They knew they didn't have much, but they so wanted to be a blessing for this family. So they go home, they start thinking about how can we put together some money to give and donate to this family. So what happened is, they bought about 50 pounds of potatoes. They lived on that 50 pounds of potatoes for an entire month, and that allowed them to save about $20 on their grocery bill to give for this offering. They also made little pot holders and sold those for $1 a piece. They turned off all the lights they could in their little home, trying to save money on their electric bill. And when they got done with this month of saving up so they could give for this offering, they had a lot of change. And they went to the grocery store. And when they got to the grocery store, they told the manager, "We'd like to cash in our change for some bills." And it ended up, believe it or not, they got three crisp $20 bills and a $10 bill. $70 worth that they were going to give Easter Sunday at church. So Easter Sunday comes. There's a very rainy Sunday morning. They live about a mile from the church. They walk there to the church. And Eddie says, you should never forget, the second daughter, Danielle, had holes in her shoes. And they would stuff cardboard in there to kind of cover those holes. But with it raining so hard, the cardboard deteriorated. Her little feet got wet. And they get there to church. And they had their envelope of their $70. And they were so excited. So she says, "We got there in church. The minister said, it's time now to collect the offering." So what they did, Eddie says, the mother took the $10 bill and she gave to Eddie, Daniel, and Osie each a $20 bill. So the offering plate goes around. They put in their 10, their 20, and their 20, and their 20, and they went home full of joy. It's like they were so thankful to be able to give and help this family. They go home singing songs. I think the mother was able to purchase about a dozen eggs and boil those for Easter. They could decorate eggs. And they were in heaven. Later that afternoon, the minister pulls up. The mother gets up and she goes to the door. She speaks with the minister for a few moments. She comes back to her three little daughters. And she's carrying an envelope. She dumped out the envelope. There were three crisp $20 bills, a $10 bill, and 17 $1 bills. Eddie says, "We sat there. Nobody said anything. They stared at the floor. And he said, for the first time in our lives, we realized we must be poor. The church took up that offering for us as a poor family. And of $87 given, 70 of it came from that poor family." I want you to listen to what Eddie says at next week. She says, "We sat in silence for a long time. It got dark, we went to bed. All that week, we girls went to school, came home, and no one talked much. Finally, on Saturday," this is right before Easter Sunday, or in that Sunday after Easter, "Mom asked us what we wanted to do with the money. And Eddie says, what did poor people do with money? We didn't know. We'd never known we were poor. We did not want to go to church on Sunday, but Mom said we had to. Although it was a sunny day, beautiful day, we did not talk along the way. Now here's what happened. They get to church, and she says, at church we had a missionary speaker. He talked about how churches in Africa made buildings out of sun-dried bricks, but they needed money to buy roofs. And he said, $100 will put a roof on a church. The minister then asked the church this question. Can't we all sacrifice to help these poor people? And at that, Eddie's mama started to smile. Eddie says, we looked at each other and we smiled for the first time in a week. Mom reached into her purse. She pulled out an envelope. She gave it to Eddie, who passed it to Danielle, who passed it to Osi, who put it into the offering plate. Now here's what happened. Missionary gets up there. He knows the size of the church. And he knows there's no way a church this size has enough rich people in it that could provide $100 for a roof. So missionary gets up there. They count the offering. It's a little over $100. Now, we know Eddie's family, they gave like $87 of that because they were the poor family, right? Here's what the missionary said. The missionary said, never expected such a large offering from such a small church. And this was in that statement. You must have some rich people in this church. And little Eddie, Daniel and Osi, and that mama, Eddie says, it finally struck us. We had given $87 of that little over 100, and here's what Eddie said. We realized we were the rich family in that church. Isn't it interesting how God measures giving differently than we do sometimes? That's 1946, and I'm going to say it again. I believe that God notices our giving and motive today, just like He did in 1946 and like He did here in the first century in this temple with this poor little widow that gave two little mites. I give you two little takeaways and we'll be done today. Number one, based on this text and what we see here with this poor little lady, I think this is a good principle for us today. Some give much, amounting to little. And some give little, amounting to much. That's what Jesus saw that day with this little lady. And it's never been how much we give to God. It's always been how much we withhold for ourselves. The second takeaway that stands out from the story, and I hope it's encouraging, don't ever think that what you have is too little for Him to notice. It is never about the amount. It's always about the motive. So that's the story of this little lady, poverty-stricken widow, who gave all she had and had no idea anybody saw it or that anybody cared. I promise you that no matter how little it is, and I've got to remind myself of this many times as well, how little I am, how little I do, how little of an impact we make, it's never so little that God does not notice. And that's what I'm so praying for our church here at Mountain View. I'm praying that for our missionaries we support, for Sarah as we encourage her and pray for her. These are things that God notices, and that encourages me. So I'm going to bow as we close today in looking at this little story and encounter that Jesus had with this lady. And as we close and have the opportunity just to pray and think about our lives and lift up needs before God, if there's something from this account that stands out, that's provided some application for your life, this would be a great time to pray about that and pray for that. If you've come in today with a burden that has nothing to do with the story of this lady and her two mites, this is the opportunity where you can lift it up in prayer. It may be here at the altar area where you feel the need to bow before God to pray. But you can take advantage of this opportunity to pray over those specific types of needs. And then just in case, if you're here today without Christ, or you're listening to the message online and you're without Christ, this is a time in our service where you have the opportunity to respond to the gospel message and repent of sin and by faith believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and commit your life to Him and become one of His children and be saved. So, I'm going to be quiet. This will be an opportunity to respond. And then after just a few moments of our praying and thanking and reflecting, then I'll say amen to that and we'll be done with our service. Wow, what a song. This poor widow gave all. And I think this song right now, playing this, I surrender all. What a song. So Father, today as we close out this time, You've heard our prayers. You know, burdens or issues we've come in with. And we're praying that You would work in those and through those. And too, that from this account of this modest, humble widow, had no idea Jesus saw what she did that day, had no idea He'd make a story of it, and we'd be reading about it here today. May that remind us and encourage us that with You, little is much. So help us to be faithful in our giving, not only to You, but just in our generosity in general with people we meet and needs that arise that You put before us, to be able to be ministers in the midst of. So help us to be faithful in that regard. And today, as You've heard our prayers, we pray that You would intervene, provide for those items that have been lifted up in prayer. And as we get ready to go, we ask Your blessings on us for a good week, a safe week, a healthy week, and for wisdom to live in this world and to do so as believers who honor You and honor Your Word. So thank You for our time today. We love You. We lift up praises to You. And it is in Your Son, Jesus' name, that we lift up our prayer. Amen.